Justice Joseph Williams of the New Zealand Court of Appeal is of Maori descent, and he has watched down through the years as his native culture has gained recognition in government and judicial circles. He's the first person of Maori descent and the first who speaks his native tongue appointed to one of his nation's highest courts. He's in Hawaii this week as the international jurist in residence at the UH Law School, and we spoke about similarities between Maori history and that of the Hawaiian people.
Well, I suppose the first point is that they're essentially the same indigenous cultures. We're the southernmost Polynesians, and native Hawaiians are the northernmost Polynesians. I think native Hawaiians arrived in these islands maybe 500, 700 years before we, the last of the Polynesians to populate a populatable island, arrived in Aotearoa, which is probably about 1000 AD, maybe 1100 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Same basic values, the same basic language, really. I think Hawaiian and Maori are as similar as Italian and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So almost
linguistic roots.
Almost mutually intelligible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good launching point. We really are, in an ancient way, the same people. The second point is we're colonized at the same time. In fact, Cook is effectively the first white guy to turn up to Aotearoa, to New Zealand, and the first white guy to turn up to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Our treaty of cession, as it's called in English, the Treaty of Waitangi was signed in 1840 at the time of the Mahele mm-hmm. here. And that following 60 years in Hawaii that led to the overthrow of the kingdom in the 1890s is a time of colonial usurpation in Aotearoa by different means. We didn't have a single, prior to white contact, we didn't have a single king, a single administration. We had valley by valley tribal mm-hmm. systems of control and government, and still do. So that's a little different. We are, Maori are by nature more atomized.
Atomized, what is that?
In the sense that every valley has its own king.
I see, yeah.
The tribes are defiantly independent of one of the other
mm-hmm.
and engage occasionally still and certainly historically in highly competitive behavior between each other, mm-hmm. although they are closely related.
Mm-hmm.
So colonization's impacts were different in the detail. In this kind of surface historical narrative, there's a difference, but in the underlying causes and effects, almost identical. So in Hawaii, you've got 1.2 million people living in the state, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
About 20% Native Hawaiian.
Give or take.
Yeah, so 16% Maori in a country of 4.5 million, mm-hmm. about 650,000 people, and of course that period from 1840 through to I guess the 1920s or 30s, the period of the arrival and ultimate usurpation of British rule, the ultimate usurpation of tribal rule by British rule, introduced the same sorts of issues: the arrival of Christianity, technology, the stresses of modernity. That is, you know, it wasn't all, you know, bad white guys turn up and beat up on.
It's never
good,
that simple.
Good brown guys. It was yeah. The brown guys quite liked a bit of what the white guys were bringing, and so the chiefs were trying to lead their way through this period of engaging with modernity.
Mm-hmm.
How they would engage. Some of their experiments were a terrible failure. Some of their experiments were relatively successful. And that's exactly the same story as you see in Hawaii.
It's a story of very different value systems being imposed on one another, mm-hmm. or, you know, having to sort of coexist,
mm-hmm.
and the inevitable frictions that result, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, precisely, a vehemently individualist system by the 1850s,
mm-hmm.
Running headlong into a vehemently collectivist system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, by the second half of the 19th century, a vehemently empiricist system running headlong into a vehemently spiritual system.
Empiricist in what sense?
Well, you know, science was the ruler in
I see.
In the in the British Empire of the 20th century. Still very Christian, of course, but you know, this is post-Enlightenment where
rationality rules.
That's right. Rationality is the rule. Yeah,
and that sort of elbows out spiritual values.
Well, a system that sees the land as an ancestor and the local rivers as ancestors, the connection between people and environment as a blood connection, between people and trees, between people and animals as essentially blood connections, not as some sort of romantic ideal,
yeah,
not as some sort of Garden of Eden thing, but actually.
That's a stretch for a Western rationalist.
It sure is.
Perspective.
It sure is. And of course, the missionaries came wanting to disabuse this people of those ideas because they were errant nonsense. Mm-hmm. So they genuinely believed that this would improve the lot of these people as they were drawn out of darkness into the light of salvation through redemption with the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, in the process, the missionaries along with the other settlers were massively enriched because they got the land.
Well, and there's a sense throughout the whole missionary experience that pagan or heathen beliefs were, you know, we're satanic, we're evil, we're to be purged from people's belief systems, right?
Absolutely. And the version of Protestantism that came to New Zealand was a fundamentalist version of Protestantism.
Especially strict.
Quite strict, yeah, quite strict.
The Calvinist strain.
Quite Calvinist, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a low church Anglican. So much like, I think, to some extent, what was received here in Hawaii. So,
But distrustful of things like dancing, singing, voluble expressions of joy and emotion, yeah?
Absolutely. And quite afraid of that. Māori exuberant expression was frowned upon. In fact, it was scary because these Māoris were heavily armed, much more heavily armed than the settlers were,
mm-hmm.
with British technology.
So just seeing the welcoming ceremony is enough to put fear in you if you're.
I know. For people who aren't used to it, it is a very strange way to say hi, welcome into my home.
Yeah, with a smack on the rear. Right?
That's right, and a very scary grimace.
Yeah.
and yelling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit bizarre if you're not used to it.
Well, it's really something to see, but it's also kind of symbolic of the kind of culture clash that is involved here.
Yeah, that's right. So that was all frowned upon, and ultimately, just as here, the language itself was frowned upon. The Polynesians in the south, just as those in the north, had to become dusky-skinned, English-speaking, individualist, Calvinist, doer versions of what was taking place, what was either on the east coast of the U.S. or in Britain. It didn't matter. It's the same thing.
Are you seeing a movement toward harmony in your country and here?
I'm no expert on here at all, so I'd better not venture an opinion on that, but I'm hopeful about that. I am, I think, finally seeing some sort of peace being made in Aotearoa between the indigenous people and the settlers after a generation of a treaty settlement process aimed at reparations and restoration, aimed at putting the colonial period on trial and being honest about that, aimed at reconstructing the tribes that were circumvented because they were a wall against colonization, and of course they were militarily powerful. We are seeing the country coming through the tunnel to the light at the other end. I'm not saying it's, you know, the beautiful sunny uplands at all. Only time will tell us whether this generational experiment has produced the sort of peace we need. But what I can say is that the attempt is genuine and that the people engaged in it on both sides appear to be very hopeful that this might work.
Can't really ask for much more than that.
That's right.
Yeah. Justice Joseph Williams of the New Zealand Court of Appeal is in Hawaii this week as the International Jurist in Residence at the UH Law School. He's the first person of Maori descent and the first who speaks his native tongue appointed to one of his nation's highest courts.